This has really made me think about a topic that I really haven't taken the time to think about before and really study. I like to begin with a simple question. What is hell? Hell is described as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth and outer darkness. Turn to Matthew 11 and we'll read verses 11 and 12. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Also turn to Matthew 22, we will read verse 13. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot, and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And finally turn to Matthew 25, we will read verse 30. "And cast a worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Hell is also described as the destroyer of both body and soul. Turn to Matthew 10, we will read verse 28. "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is also described as a place of gloomy darkness. Turn to 2 Peter 2, and we'll read verse 4. "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell, and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until judgment." Now that we see the general concept of what hell is, I would like to look at a specific example of someone who went there and what he did. Turn to Luke 16 and we will read verses 19 through 31. Luke 16, starting in verse 19. "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died, and was carried away by angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off, and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm, has been fixed, in order that those who have passed from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' And he said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.'" This story reminds me of the phrase, "What goes around comes around." During the rich man's life, he was prosperous, but then he spent eternity receiving the treatment he gave Lazarus. He didn't help him when he was in need, and he didn't receive any help. Now that we've looked at a specific example, I would like to broaden the category and look at general types of people who will receive this eternal punishment. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6, and we'll read verses 9 and 10. First Corinthians 6, starting in verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So here we see a long list of people who will not inherit the kingdom of God and ultimately receive this eternal punishment. Also turn to Matthew 5, we'll read verse 22. Matthew 5, verse 22. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So, to the long list we have in 1 Corinthians 6, we can also add scoffers. So by this you mean just because I stole a loaf of bread or a candy bar, I will receive this eternal punishment? I want to make it clear that I am in no way a judge here and don't intend to be. But based on this passage and other related passages, I believe that yes, that is the answer. Sin separates us from God and ultimately puts us in danger of eternal punishment. But what if I'm just not content with what I have? What if I just don't trust in the Lord to give me everything I need? Will I receive the same punishment as these much more prominent sinners? Again, I believe the answer is pretty clear. We tend to categorize sins. Some of these sins seem much milder when, in reality, God puts them in the same category and gives them the same punishment. Do they not, in fact, mean the same thing? Either way, we are disobeying God and His commandments, and therefore sinning just the same. Our society is continually blurring the lines of what is moral and proper, but God and the Bible have never changed. So now that we've looked at some ways and things that will lead us down the road to hell, I would like to look at a few things that can help us stay away from that road, keep us away from sinning. We are instructed to cast away sin. Turn to Matthew 5 and we'll read verses 29 and 30. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. And in Mark 9, we see the parallel passage to this. Also, we are commanded to run away from it. Turn to 2 Timothy 2, and we will read verse 22. 2 So flee youthful passions, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the name of the Lord from a pure heart. So this morning, we have looked at what hell is, ways that will end up with us there, and ways that we can avoid it. I like to remind all of us that this should be our fate as well. We deserve this punishment. We could do a million good things to stay away from it, but as it said in Romans 3:23, there's just nothing we could have done ourselves to deserve anything less than hell. Without the grace of God, which was given through His Son and His ultimate sacrifice, we would forever be tortured beyond our imagination. But because of this once-for-all sacrifice, we have the hope and faith that one day we will be in a better place.
I'll be reading from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away. Then he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the immoral persons and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Number 258. We'll sing two more songs and then have a prayer, and then Stuart will bring a lesson. I'd like to pose a question to you this morning. Why should I want to go to heaven? If you would, turn to Revelation 21, and we'll start reading from verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Now, there are a few reasons that we should want to go to heaven from these verses that I've just read. And from verse 3, God will be with men and he will dwell with them. Now, continuing in verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had one of the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will shew you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Verse 10, and he carried me away in a spirit to a great and high mountain, and he shewed me the great city and holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And verse 12, and had a great wall, and high, and the 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the sons, children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And verse 14, and all the wall, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he talked with me, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare. The length is as large as breadth, and the measure of the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. And the length of the breadth and the height of it were equal. And he measured the wall thereof 140 cubits, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall was of great jasper. The city was of pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And the first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh crystalline, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth a chrysopass, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were of 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lamb, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, for God, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. The glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which were saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Verse 26, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. And moving on to chapter 22, another reason we would want to be there is the tree of life. Now the tree of life was in the Garden of Eden in Genesis, and once man sinned, God removed it and placed it in heaven. Chapter 22, verse 1. And he shewed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no curse, no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads.
And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Skipping down to verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter into the gates into the city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. And I, the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. Now, I've given you some reasons why we should want to go to heaven. Now, these are all good reasons, but one reason is we all want to see God and praise Him when we get to heaven. And we don't want to suffer eternal punishment. But going back to verse 20, or chapter 21, verse 8, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars. That last one seems to get people. I mean, just a little white lie won't hurt anything. But even if it's something small, say, tell your parents you cleaned your room, but you didn't. Even that can get you in trouble. So, and they shall all have the part which burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And going to the verse 15 of chapter 22 shows that none of these can go into heaven. So those that are written in the book of life of the Lamb shall enter into the kingdom. There's only one way that we can get into heaven, and that's being a Christian. And there's only one way to become a Christian, that's to be baptized and live a Christ-like life. Now, turn to Acts 26, verse 28. This is where Paul is testifying before Agrippa, and in verse 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. So Paul wanted even government leaders to be in heaven, but this morning, I don't want you to almost be persuaded. I want you to be persuaded to become a Christian. and live with God forever in eternal life. So if you have not become a Christian this morning, or you need to repent of sins, please come as we stand and sing.